You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates. You're watching Pirate Breakdown with Sutton Young. Join Sutton every Wednesday night on The Sports Objective as he talks East Carolina football. Here's Sutton.
And welcome in to Pirate Breakdown. Hope you all have had a great week. It's a Thursday, usually on a Wednesdays, but you know, a day away, it's all right. Joined tonight by Kyle Barber. Kyle, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Sutton? It's an interesting bit of weather going on right now. I'm not to jump too far ahead, but I'm anxious to see if we're actually going to get there tomorrow. Last I heard, we're scheduled to fly around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and that's potentially going to be when the worst of the winds are coming through Greenville. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. South Florida made all the trouble to move this game from Tampa to Boca Raton. Hopefully we can get there.
Yeah, I was looking at that too earlier in the wind conditions, because obviously we've been covering Hurricane Ian, now brought back into a hurricane, Category 1 hurricane. I mean, it's still whipping through Florida. It's still there, and I'm really thinking tomorrow the team is scheduled, as you said, to fly out tomorrow afternoon. I mean, will they be able to safely? So that's definitely a concern.
Yeah, I don't know why we don't fly out either tonight or in the morning. Right. I know it's a chartered flight. I don't know how easy it is to call those audibles to say, hey, let's go ahead and move the flight up to 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Because, I think by tomorrow afternoon, particularly depending on the exact path, but we're in a tropical storm warning pretty much all of Eastern North Carolina now. And, I was looking at meteorologist Jerry Jackson, WNCT, said we could have gusts 50 to 60 miles per hour well inland. And, I don't know if you could take off and fly in those conditions. You can fly in those conditions. Mm-hmm. A lot of turbulence. The problem is takeoff.
Right.
So, I don't know, again, how easy it is to call an audible with these charter flights and see if we can't take off a little earlier. But, I'm not running things. But how ironic would that be, Sutton, if we couldn't get down there and that's the reason the game hadn't played after all the things South Florida did to move it?
Yeah. And it's certainly something that, if you can get down there, obviously the hurricane is tropical storm wherever you are. It's not going anywhere. But if there is a safer way out and you move it up, you take that flight out. So hopefully with these charter flights, they'll be able to get something. I believe that ECU uses Allegiant. Don't count me on that. But either way, hopefully they will be able to get out of there. But something that we were not able to get out of on Saturday was a defeat against Navy, who is now 5-0 in Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium. And Kyle, it pains me to say, because we really should have won the game.
Yeah, there's no doubt we should have won the game. The game plan on offense, I don't think was working, obviously. We couldn't establish the run. We were banging our heads against the wall to establish the run. The pass was there. They were getting pressure on Holton at times, but the passing game was still there. We should have went to it more. You lose it in overtime. To me, the play of the game that cost us, and you hate to single him out because he hadn't fumbled the ball very much, but that fumble by Harris in the fourth quarter that gave Navy the short field that they scored at the time, the go-ahead touchdown, and then, we ended up tying it. But, God, that play was huge to me. But multiple opportunities to win that football game. There's a whole bunch of people that I think are in the panic room a little too soon. I think we are a very good football team, and I think the Navy game, it's good to be, I shouldn't say it's good to be. It's okay to be upset about it, mad about it, disappointed about it, because we should have won. Not only are we better than Navy, we are significantly better than Navy. And I think if you play that game 10 times, we win 9 out of 10. We just had a poor game plan offensively, and just everything fell their way. Every close call the officials made, yep. they got every little thing go their way, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and there were multiple pieces and where people were questioning, okay, well, we lost the game because of this X, Y, Z. But I was in the press conference on Saturday night. That might have been the quickest press conference I've been in. And Holton said it straight up. I mean, there were plenty of people pointing the finger at Owen Daffer for missing the kick. But Holton said straight up, do not blame this game on Owen Daffer. Blame it on me, Holton Ahlers. And I'm not going to blame the game on anybody, but I will say this. Owen Daffer did not lose the game for us. And I know a lot of people are saying that on social media. That was not the case.
No, Owen didn't lose the game for us. Owen had a chance to tie the game in overtime. Well, my question about Daffer is how much is he in his head now? He's got all the ability in the world. We've seen it, but he's missed three kicks now in clutch situations.
Right.
An extra point, two field goals. And at some point, you know, you got to acknowledge the kids, you know, between the years has gotten to his own head. He's let the pressure get to him. And I don't know if they've opened up kick competition in practice or not. There's two schools of thought on that. Some people would say, if you do that, you may lose them even more. I tend to disagree with that. I think if you're a competitor and you open up that kick competition, he needs to believe in himself. And if he doesn't believe in himself, it doesn't matter if the coaches believe in him or not. And so I think competition could be a good thing for him.
No, I mean, I certainly agree with that. I think that – frankly, there should always be competition there. But I mean, like you said, Owen, he's a great kicker. I mean, he got his spark last year at Navy. I mean, and it's unfortunate that he missed the kick this year to beat Navy or to tie the game with Navy and send it to triple overtime. But I do think, as you said, Kyle, that a kicking competition, it would not be bad for this special teams unit because, I mean, I don't know Owen personally, but he seems like a very driven kid and one that I think would respond well to pressure. So I think it's more in the sense of, yeah, Owen, I think he'll keep his job the rest of the season and moving forward, but competition is always a good thing to have, and I think it would benefit him.
No, it definitely would. And, you know, I think Matt brought this up, Matt Simmons, on one of our other shows. You know, if right now we're in a winner situation against South Florida, and let's say we got the ball at the 30, and do you kick, you know, it's at the end of the game. Do you have the confidence to send him out there to kick a long field goal for the win?
Right.
Or are you leaving your offense on the field right now? And I think most people would say leave the offense on the field. I mean, you know, he may go out there and nail it, and that may be what he needs to get his confidence back, but you know, it's a shaky situation there. But no, just to wrap that part up, he is not responsible for the game. No. He is responsible for his missed field goal and us not going to a third overtime. But we should have won that game in regulation. And that thing should have never even been in overtime. And that's not on Owen.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, as much as I don't want to blame the game on anybody specifically, but I personally think that the game – after that interception late in the fourth quarter, that to me was, okay, we might be in trouble because that gave Navy the momentum right back. We had the momentum, and we just handed it to them, and we know what happened after that. Again, there were multiple reasons why we lost this game. It wasn't one person. But I'll tell you something else that had a big impact was losing Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah, losing Keaton. And, again, that goes back to banging our head against the wall with the running game when it wasn't there. I don't know, you know, we did some nice things in the passing game. I don't know why we didn't go to it more. The interception Holton threw on the third and one, I challenged Mike Houston there. Why didn't you call a timeout there with two timeouts left? You're third and one, the clock's running. Why you don't call a timeout there and get the right play call in? You got two timeouts. That's the time to use it because after that play was over, you know, after he threw the pick, there was only 25 seconds left. When we got to the line of scrimmage, it was like 40-some seconds left after the previous play. So we waited 20 seconds. So I don't know why we didn't use the timeout there going into that play. To me, Houston's clock management at the end of games has been questionable going back to last year. Houston's a great coach. Everybody's got their weaknesses. And I think one of his weaknesses is clock management at the end of games. And he needs to work on that. But I, yeah, the Holton's decision to throw that ball there rather than just pulling it and picking up the first down, it's beyond me why he did that. But like I said, that's one play right there. Obviously, we may have set up ourselves a chance to win it in regulation with a kick from Owen, or who knows, maybe we put it in the end zone. Earlier on that drive, Isaiah Winstead was open on a scramble play that we would have scored a touchdown. Navy would have got the ball back with like a minute 30 left with no timeouts if we'd have scored on that play. But I would have liked our chances there, knowing they had to throw. And then you go back to that fumble by Harris, which gave Navy a short field, and so uncharacteristic of Rajay Harris.
No, and you're 100% right there. I was filming for WITN, and I'll be honest, I stopped my footage because I'm like, okay, well, nothing happened here. And then about 5 seconds later, Navy's just celebrating. I mean, it was a fumble where, I mean, frankly, it's just shock because you never see fumbles from Rajay. So that was a big turning point. But I'll say this, on the other side of the ball, I mean, I thought the defense, aside from the fourth quarter, played pretty well.
No, the defense did what they needed to do. It's funny, I said all week on the podcast, you know, based on our history with Navy, if we hold them to 20 or 23 points, oddly enough, go back, I said 23 points, the defense deserves a standing ovation. And we'll be damned if we didn't hold them to 23 points, but we lost. So it is what it is. But no, the defense did their job. Even in the fourth, we gave up a couple scores. You know, one of those was on short field, like I said. So I think the defense did their job all game. And in overtime, they did their job. I mean, you can't – that's what's really irritating about the overtime period is defense is fantastic in overtime. And, you know, there was a hold on that third down play where they picked up enough yardage to get it back into reasonable field goal range. Had that hold been called, it would have been third and 20 and or whatever it would have been. It would have been even longer, and who knows what would have happened if they would have picked up enough yards to attempt the field goal, or if they would have had to go for it on fourth down, or if it would have been a 48, 49-yard kick or what. But so many missed opportunities in that game, and, boy, the officials did us no favors. Every call went Navy's way. Every spot of the ball that was close, they got the extra half yard. And I'm not one to blame the officials, but there was a lot of calls in that game. Going back to the targeting call on us and then not calling targeting on them. It was several calls in that game that clearly went Navy's way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be one to say, oh, this call was wrong, this call was right. But that targeting call, it because I kept on looking at it, I was on the field and I kept on looking at the Jumbotron. I still question why the officials called a targeting, because, I mean, it certainly didn't look like it. Certainly didn't look intentional. I mean, the roar, the loud boos that stadium had, those might have been the loudest boos I've heard in that stadium in quite some time. So, no, I certainly agree with you.
Terrible call. And then later on in the I think it was in the fourth. It may have been overtime. I don't even remember now. It was late in the game. Holton dives and Navy hits him as he's diving, and you know, when a quarterback dives, you got to pull up. And not only did they not throw a flag for target, and they didn't throw a flag for a late hit, and you know, it can be reviewed. That's one play, as I brought up on another show. Houston's arguing that the targeting penalty, even if the targeting foul is not called on the field, that is a play that can be reviewed even without the flag to see if it should have been targeted. Yep. And once Coach Houston brought it up to the officials' attention, it should have went through the replay booth.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it, because I thought that was clear cut. But certainly, again, with this Navy game, certainly not the way that we wanted or expected. I mean, I called it last week. I told Bubba on the show I didn't think that it would be a blowout like many people were expecting. But frankly, certainly did not expect it to be a full-on loss. But now let's move on to USF. Certainly some big storylines here. The game was supposed to be at Raymond James Stadium, and now it's being moved 4 hours to Boca Raton, home of the FAU Owls. Kyle, do you think that the move benefits ECU, or do you think it benefits USF?
The move to Boca, I really don't know that it benefits either or. It kind of is what it is. I would say maybe a slight benefit to East Carolina because, you know, South Florida doesn't draw very well when they're not winning anyway. But it's a neutral site. You know, I guess they'll have more fans there than we will. Boca's certainly closer to Tampa than Greenville is. And South Florida's got a large alumni base. I'm quite sure there's quite a few alumni living in the Boca Raton area that don't get to make it to Tampa often that, you know, may go to that game. And as we talked about earlier, you know, now are we going to get there? We'll get to the flyout tomorrow afternoon. And somebody commented about our equipment truck. I'm assuming they're on the way there now. So it might be a good time for them to actually be driving down. This is probably the best time to be driving down because the storm is kind of back in the ocean at this point and hasn't made its second landfall. So this would be the time to travel via by land or air. Not tomorrow at 1-2 o'clock, but
yeah, no doubt about that. And I was thinking, I almost texted one of my buddies who's on the equipment staff, just wondering when the equipment truck was going to go down because tomorrow's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad too. They haven't canceled classes in East Carolina, but they have given professors specific instructions on what to do. I don't have class tomorrow. I know many of my friends, they also are not going to be in class tomorrow. So as we mentioned earlier in the show, it's going to be interesting to see when they fly out. Hopefully it'll be earlier, but it will be interesting, Kyle, to see this neutral site. And as you mentioned too, I was at the game 2 years ago in Tampa, and I mean, yes, it was during COVID times, but the crowd was terrible. I mean, that stadium is rigged for the Buccaneers, obviously. Those seats are rigged, and frankly, it looked like the end of a Buccaneers blowout in the fourth quarter because there just was nobody there. So, especially, too, as you mentioned, with USF and just not being very good. And obviously, I mean, when they are good, they'll drop. But when they're bad, I mean, it frankly looks like a high school crowd. So I think it's going to come down to the X's and O's on Saturday. I personally don't think either team has a advantage.
I think we're significantly better than they are. Right. I really do. I think their offense. Look, now they may get some players back that weren't there against Louisville, which may help them. But their quarterback has struggled. And I know he put up good numbers at Baylor, but, you know, 6 INTs, no touchdowns. I don't think they're a very good football team. I think if we come to play, if we're laser focused, if we have something to prove, I think we cover. I think last I saw the spread was 9.5. I think we cover. I really do. Now, if South Florida comes out, they want to win one for Florida. They want to win one for the people of the, you know, Tampa Bay area down the Clearwater over at Fort Myers, et cetera. You never know. Kind of East Carolina, Miami 99. Mm-hmm. South Florida maybe plays above themselves.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows if we're distracted mentally with flying out in the storm? But I think the advantage is to us. I think we're significantly better than they are if we execute.
Right. Let me correct myself real quick. Advantage as far as crowd and all that, there's not going to be one. But as far as who is the team, I mean, clearly it's us. I mean, I could see this game being a blowout in our favor, similar to the last two games. But, I mean, frankly, Kyle, I could see this being a low-scoring game with the travel distractions. And USF is going to come into this game. They're going to be hungry. They're going to be ready to go. And as you said, I mean, the Miami game in 99 is a great example. I think that they are really going to be motivated to win this one. They're going to have a lot of chip on that shoulder, and they're going to play well. Kyle, you have a score prediction for this one?
You know, I'll go ahead just base it on football and leave the intangibles out of it. I'm going to go to East Carolina 34. USF 21.
Yeah, I think that's solid. I think the Pirates will cover. I won't be surprised if they don't. I am going to go, let's see here. I'll go 30-20 East Carolina. I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think in the end we will get it done. Kyle, any final thoughts, man?
No, just everybody be careful tomorrow. I don't think anybody was really expecting what all of a sudden now we're forecast to get in the Carolinas. So from North Carolina down to South Carolina, everybody be careful, and hopefully the team can make it there safely and we play this football game Saturday.
Hopefully. Oh, thank you for joining me, and thank you all as well for joining me. Everyone, please stay safe. Take care of yourselves and your loved ones throughout this hurricane storm. Have a great night.